Chapter 10. More of Scotland. Scotland is marvellous. It's a country of mountains and lakes, and everything I saw in my few days there was, without exception, beautiful. I'm not exaggerating, and I can say this even though, from the minute Martin and I left Edinburgh, the weather was terrible. It rained and rained, and then when the rain stopped, it rained again. As we drove north, Martin started to tell me a few things about Scotland. He didn't want me to think about the rain. "Did you know that Scotland includes 787 islands?" he asked me. "No, I didn't," I answered, looking out of the window at the grey sky, the dark grey clouds, and the rain. "Yes, and only 62 of the islands are bigger than 5 square kilometres," he added. "Do you think the rain will stop soon?" I asked.
"I hope so. We'll go to Dunkeld first. They've got their Highland Games on at the moment."
The rain was getting worse, and I couldn't see the car in front of us. The mountains in the distance had disappeared.
"Antonio, you're not listening, are you?
Stop worrying about the rain.
I was going to tell you about the Highland Games, but you're obviously not interested."
"I'm sorry, Martin, of course I'm interested. What are the games?"
"They're a competition of the traditional Scottish sports," he explained.
"But you do sports outside. Won't they be cancelled if it's raining?" I asked.
"No, this is Scotland, not Andalusia. If we cancelled something every time we had bad weather, we'd never do anything."
Of course, Martin was right. The games continued despite the rain. We parked the car outside the pretty town of Dunkeld and walked out to the field where the competition was being held. There were hundreds of different coloured umbrellas and everyone was wearing a raincoat. Everyone except the competitors, who were mostly men. They were wearing kilts and T-shirts.
"People really do wear kilts," I exclaimed.
"Of course they do, but not every day," laughed Martin.
"Men have worn kilts since the end of the 1700s. Women also wear kilts sometimes. I wear one on special occasions, for a wedding or something like that."
"You wear a skirt?" I exclaimed.
"No, Antonio, I don't wear a skirt. I wear a kilt. The kilt is a symbol of Scottish nationalism, the same as tartan."
"What's tartan?" I asked him.
"It's the special pattern in the material that kilts are made from. The material with the different coloured squares. Nowadays, there are more than 2,000 different patterns. Some of them are officially recognised and some aren't. Historically, every clan or family has its own pattern. For example, the Gordon clan has a tartan. The MacDonald clan has a different tartan. And look!"
Martin pointed to the corner of the field. There was a man with what looked like a tree trunk in his arms. "What's he doing with that tree?" I asked.
"It's not a tree," he said. "It's called a caber, and the competition is called Tossing the Caber. Imagine the face of a clock on the ground. Each competitor stands in the middle of the clock, lifts the caber vertically, and puts it on his shoulder. Then he throws it so that it spins in the air, and it must land in a straight line on the ground. The person who can throw the caber closest to the 12 o'clock position wins. Watch!"
We watched several more competitions. Most of them consisted of throwing something heavy. There were also some women competing, but they didn't have problems because obviously these games require skill as well as strength.
"Come on," said Martin. "You've got to try some haggis before we leave. It's a typical Scottish food."
In the village, there was a little market selling local produce. There was honey and jam, cakes and biscuits, and haggis.
"Yuck! What is that?" I asked when Martin showed me the haggis.
It looked like a plastic bag with something brown and lumpy inside it.
"It's a sheep's stomach," Martin told me. "There's lamb inside it, an onion, and the heart, liver. Don't tell me!
I'd prefer to eat it without knowing. Why aren't you having any?"
"Oh, I've already tried it."
He laughed. The lady selling the haggis gave me a little plastic plate with hot haggis on it, and I ate it with a fork. When I didn't look at what I was eating, it tasted quite nice. That afternoon, we drove through the Grampian Mountains. It was still raining, but I didn't mind. The scenery was beautiful. In between the mountains, there were wide open spaces, and it was all so green. The hills seemed endless. We stopped and camped that evening outside a little village. It sounds crazy to camp in the rain, but it was wonderful. We had bought some tins of food and some bread and wine, and we sat in the tent and cooked on a little camper stove. Then we played cards. Eventually the rain stopped, and we could see the sun through the clouds as it disappeared behind the mountains. It was truly beautiful.
"Tomorrow we'll go and find Nessie," said Martin.
"Nessie? The Loch Ness Monster?" I asked.
"Yes, there will be a lot of people at Loch Ness, but you can't leave Scotland without going to its most famous lake."
"So is loch the Scottish word for lake?" I asked.
"That's right. There are lots of lakes in Scotland, but Loch Ness is the biggest. It's 39 kilometres long, and the deepest part is 229 metres deep. There's a lot of loch for Nessie to hide in."
That night, I dreamed about monsters. I woke up to the sound of rain. I looked at my watch. It was 6 a.m. By 6:30 a.m., the rain had stopped, and I opened the tent. The sun was rising, and there was white mist on the ground. I put on my jumper and my boots and went outside. I walked up to the top of a hill and looked down into the valley. Everything looked very mysterious, quiet, and calm. There was complete silence, except for the birds. "It's perfect," I thought. I stood there and watched as the sun came up. When the mist had evaporated, I saw the sun reflected on the water of a loch below me. It was a very special moment. When we got to Inverness, Martin turned right. I was looking at the map.
"Martin, we should have turned left to go to Loch Ness," I told him.
"I know, but I want you to see something special first," he said. "My parents live in a village not far from here. Near the village there's a castle. It's a beautiful place, and it has an interesting history. The legend is that in 1454, the Lord of Cawdor wanted to build a new castle. He filled a bag with gold to pay for the castle, put the bag of gold on a horse, and said he would build the castle at the place where the horse stopped. It stopped under a tree, so he built the castle around the tree. You can still see the tree in the cellar."
We stopped near the castle and got out of the car.
"I usually spend New Year's Eve at my parents' home," said Martin. "When I do, I always visit the castle. It's a special place, isn't it?"
"Yes, it is," I agreed. "By the way, how do you and your family celebrate New Year's Eve?"
"Well, we usually have a big party with lots of people, and then at midnight we'll listen to the bells of Big Ben on the radio," Martin answered. "After the bells, we stand in a circle, hold hands and sing a traditional Scottish song called Auld Lang Syne."
He sang some of the song to me, and I realised that I knew it. We used to sing it in America at New Year as well. "Does everybody kiss after that and say Happy New Year?" I asked him.
"Of course! I think people kiss each other at New Year in most countries," Martin exclaimed. "But you know, New Year's Eve is a very important celebration in Scotland and is called Hogmanay. And the traditional way of celebrating Hogmanay is very interesting. The tradition is that people stay at home until after midnight, and the first person to come into your house after that must be a man with dark hair."
"Why?" I interrupted.
"Because that's the tradition. I don't know the reason," Martin answered. "The man must also bring three specific presents to bring luck to the house. He must bring a piece of coal, so that the house will always be warm, a bag of salt, so that the family will always have something to eat, and a bottle of whiskey, so that the family will always have something to drink. Anyway, my parents have an old friend who loves this tradition. He's a dark-haired man, and after midnight, he always comes to my parents' house with these three presents. Of course, all the whiskey is drunk that night."
"And then what happens?" I asked.
"Well, then we continue with the party like everywhere in the world at New Year," Martin laughed.
"But the tradition of Hogmanay makes Scotland unique. I like that," I told him. We went to Loch Ness and I took photos of a big empty lake. About 80 other tourists were doing the same thing.
A man called Hugh Gray took the first photo of Nessie in 1933, and several people since then have said that they saw her. I don't know if there really is a monster in the loch, but I like the legend. I think it's important that we keep our legends and myths about where we live. They're part of our history. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to see much more on that visit. It is a little difficult to see the whole of Scotland in 3 days. Next time, I want to go all the way up to John O'Groats, Scotland's most northern point, and then take the ferry to the Orkney Islands, even if it's raining.